This is a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In this special edition, we are at the Des Moines Social Club, and we have two special guests, two prominent Iowans representing opposing viewpoints on the political spectrum here in Iowa. To my left is one Iowa executive director, Donna Redwing. She represents the state's leading lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization. To my right, Bob Vanderplatz is president and CEO of the conservative Christian organization, The Family Leader. And they've been doing something really interesting and also, I think, worthwhile, not only for their organizations, but for our state and for our country. They've been discussing through their cordial relationship what they've learned about each other and about each other's values, and most importantly, how to keep open civil dialogues with those who have opposing viewpoints. So let's welcome Donna Redwing and Bob Vanderplatz. So let's start, Donna and Bob, with how you started in this dialogue. I don't know who wants to kick off the idea.
I think you should let Donna kick off because she's the one who initiated all this. If you're going to blame anybody about us having this dialogue, no, she gets really all the credit. So I think Donna would be best to start it off.
Sure. About 2 years and a few months ago, a very dear friend of mine, Pam Baldwin, the executive director of Interfaith Alliance in Idaho, passed away. She had been a longtime friend. I was once chief of staff at the national organization, and I just loved Pam. I just loved her work. Doing progressive work in Idaho is not easy. It's often called the epicenter of the white supremacist movement. But Pam had such a heart for people. She believed in reconciliation. She believed that you could disagree without being disagreeable. And so when she died, I thought I needed to do something in her honor. And so I thought I needed to reach out to a person who would be considered my enemy, my nemesis. And the first person who came to mind was Bob Vanderplatz.
And your relationship up to this point, had you spoken with each other?
No.
You hadn't really crossed paths at all, and intentionally so. Yeah.
Well, only through the press. I'd read Donna's name. She'd probably read my name. But that was about it until Donna and I crossed paths in Ames.
Right.
And what? How did you receive that? How did Donna come to you, and what was your reaction when
you know, Donna was very gracious. She attended a leadership summit that the Family Leader and I hosted. And we had about 2,000 guests show up that day with some of Donna's favorites of Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Rick Perry. I think Donald Trump even was
there. He was there.
He was there as well. But Donna saw Darla and I at the lunchtime. We had a breakout for lunch. And she came and she introduced herself to me. And then she said, you know, at some time, I think you and I should have coffee together. And it was a political event, so I thought it'd be political. And I said, sure, we should. And quite frankly, I never thought she'd follow up on it. But she definitely followed up on it.
And when I did, I thought I could make the grand gesture. He would never say yes, and I could just, you know, be done. And he said yes.
My conscience is clear. Yeah. I've done what I needed to do, and I gave it my best.
I did.
But that's not what happened.
No. So he said yes, and we decided to meet in a public place. So we went to a coffee shop where I think half the people that morning were on the left, the other half were on the right, and those who recognized both of us were horrified.
Yeah. They went to the chiropractor afterwards. They had whiplash of what was going on.
So that first conversation there, how did it start? What was going on? Did you start, Donna? Did you start, Bob?
I think we both sat down and wondered what we were going to say.
I think, you know, going into it, Donna had some feelings going into that first conversation. Obviously, I did. I was probably more intrigued. She wanted to have coffee. I thought that's interesting. I kind of thought in the back of my mind, I think it's just natural. I wonder what agenda she has. You know, maybe we should talk through an agenda, but
it was the gay agenda, but
she gave me chapstick. And readily I assessed, though, that, you know, she didn't have an agenda. She just really wanted to get to know who I was, and that really compelled me to say I should really want to get to know who Donna is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What did you, Donna, most want Bob to know about you and your organization?
And first of all, I think it's important to know we never had any intention of making these conversations public. These were quiet conversations, personal conversations. What I wanted one to know who he was, because for me, he was this kind of cardboard figure who represented everything I worked against. I wanted him to know me as a human being, not as some strident lesbian activist agitator, which I can be, but as a human being, as a mom, a grandma, as somebody who cares about some of the same things that he does. I think that when we put a face and a voice and a story to people, the stereotypes fall away. I expected him to like me. I did not expect to like him. And that was the big aha moment for me. When I left, I went into the parking lot and got in my car and called my wife and said, I think I just fell down the rabbit hole. We laughed. We talked. I like this man. What's going on? That was really hard and confusing.
So cardboard cutout, Bob Vanderplaats. What's your version of what happened?
That's the nicer things I've been called. So a cardboard cutout. No, it was really just a very good conversation, and it was a good coffee. Yeah. And it's one, frankly, that I think could be modeled for many others. Now, that was not our intention. But it was, we are on the opposite side of these issues. We have some very strong beliefs and feelings. But that does not mean that I hate Donna. Nothing could be further from the truth. Matter of fact, that goes against everything about our faith. Our faith is built on love. And so Donna and I have had an opportunity again to get to know who each other are. I got to know about Sumitra. She got to know about Darla, about Hans and Josh and Lucas and Logan. I got to know about her son and her daughter-in-law, Cosette, and her grandchild, and we've been kind of doing life together.
Mm-hmm. And how often, this is approximately 2 years ago that this mm-hmm. this first conversation took place, and then after that, how often did you decide to get together?
Oh, every Friday night we go out. No. Once every, what'd you say, a couple of months?
Yeah, every other month. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you look forward to that, Bob?
I really do. Now, there's been some awkward times. Do you guys remember when Indiana was going through this religious liberty deal just recently? And that was poorly handled in a lot of ways. And I don't want to debate that issue, but right away when something like that happens, Donna gets invited by the local press to talk about that issue. And I get invited by the local press to talk about that issue. So this was a Monday when this was all going down. Tuesday morning, Donna and I were going to have coffee together. And I get in my truck, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, lead story, WHO Radio's got Donna Redwing first, Bob Vanderplaats with another view, head-to-head. Get home, Channel 13, Channel 8, all the news stations, Donna Redwing, Bob Vanderplaats, head-to-head on this issue. And I said to my wife, coffee ought to be fun tomorrow morning.
And so you up to this point read opposing views or quotes that the press has picked out on various issues over years, and now you're together, you learn about each other's personal lives. At what point do you expand into the issues that are most important to you, Donna?
I think in our first conversation, of course, the issues were front and center. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we had to do was get to know each other, of course. And I think people should know that I don't expect Bob to be marching in the Gay Pride Parade next year or any year after that. The intent is not to turn him 180 degrees.
What is the intent then, your perspective?
I think it's the journey. I think it's living out things that I've talked about for a long time. I believe here in Des Moines, here in Iowa, here in this country, this beloved community of ours, How do we exhibit our humanity? How do we live best when we're hating, when we're saying he's over there and I'm over here and I'm not going to extend my hand. How do we do that? If we can disagree on profound issues, issues that each of us get up in the morning to fight for, if we can have those disagreements and have them without being disagreeable, if we can respect each other, if we can get to know each other, if we can find common ground, which we have, I think that models how a lot of people can deal with the opponents in their lives, with people who disagree with them.
It's a great story of origins for this conversation, but I want to get to an issue, a fundamental issue on which you two disagree. Let's pick an issue. What's an issue you can agree on right now that you fundamentally disagree on?
Well, it'd have to be marriage.
Marriage equality.
So, marriage equality, same-sex marriage, you would say traditional marriage, Bob Vanderplaats. So let's hear your view on it right now.
Well, I think to first of all build on what Donna is saying about where these conversations lead, and I think where they can effectively be modeled. We live in the greatest country in the world, and people are so upset with politics and politicians today. And the reason is they can't discuss big, major issues like the ones Don and I, if you wanted to discuss marriage, are ready to discuss without being disagreeable, without pointing fingers and launching grenades at one another. That's why Congress has a 9% approval rating. When we were interviewed by the Mutual of Omaha for AHA Conversations by a group of young people, what they said this was so helpful to them to do the taping almost in a situation like this, because they really were raised that if you disagree with me, then I should hate you, which I think is just an extremely sad commentary on this. So to give you an example, I want to talk about the marriage issue for just a second. And Donna and I, just so you know, just a setup so you guys aren't going to go home disappointed, when we do come out in public.
Very good.
Thank you. In public like this, we intentionally don't try to say, okay, we're going to get into some big debate here. That's not the goal here. But some of you remember June 26th of this past year when the Supreme Court ruled on marriage, right? And I believe it was Channel 13 that had us both on live right away. And Dan Winters had Donna on first, and Sonia Heitzhusen had me on second. And it was a live spot. So Donna and I are going to have to cross paths, okay? Because she has to give up her mic. I have to get her mic. She has to give up her seat. I have to take her seat. So we can't ignore each other now. Have you ever been in a place where, like, I just don't want to see them? Okay, well, that wasn't us, but act like it was. And we had to meet each other, and we hugged each other. And after we hugged, Donna said, I think we need to go out for coffee again. And I told her, I said, and you're buying. You know, after today, you're going to buy. But Sonia Heitzhusen said, I just saw something I never thought I'd see. You two hugged each other. We can disagree on some profound things. But that doesn't mean I hate her. Matter of fact, she knows I love her. She knows I would do anything for her. I did get asked, would I attend her wedding? I said, no. I said, the reason is now I'm celebrating something that she knows I don't agree with. And it would be awkward for everybody there that I would be there. But she knows I'd be there for her. And I said, and if she were to pass away, though, before me, I guarantee I'd be at her funeral. This is part about doing life's journey together.
So around marriage, I recently, 2 years ago, married Sumitra. We've been together now for 28 years. I believe that love is love. I believe that the Supreme Court ruling on June 26 was a great victory for my community. Let me take it somewhere though. But Bob, primarily because of his religious beliefs, does not embrace marriage equality. In this country, we have the right to believe or not. We have the right to embrace whatever religion we do. And so Bob has the right to believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. That is his faith tradition. And I would support his right to believe that as much as I would support my right to marry
Sumitra. But your view of that is that in doing so, he is denying you a right. How do you get over that hurdle?
I believe he has the right to believe however he wants.
He led a successful campaign to oust three judges from the Iowa Supreme Court in 2010.
Yes.
How do you get over that?
I believe he has the right to believe whatever he wants. However, I know that he is in the business of moving that belief to a more political place. I know that he has political power in this state. That's why we're meeting. We are on opposite sides. We are in the arena with as I think our passion for our beliefs are probably equally strong. I think we're both in that arena on opposite sides. So we get to make a decision. We get to make a decision. Am I going to just cut the Bob Vanderplatz out of my life? And how about that uncle, you know, that comes over Thanksgiving? Am I going to cut him out of my life? How about almost everybody I know at one point had to come to terms with where they were on LGBT issues, including LGBT people. Are we going to cut those people out of our lives, or are we going to find a way to extend our hand and find common ground, which we have? We will not find common ground around marriage, probably not on religious liberty, but we have found common ground around the trafficking of children in the state of Iowa. If Bob and I could find a way to work together to protect children, I think we'd be unstoppable. So do we not do that because we have profound disagreements on like 98% of the issues? No.
And I think the other part to that, Donna, too, is that, I mean, part of living in this country is why would we run away from tough conversations? Matter of fact, some of the best conversations I have are with people who see the world differently than me. Two is, we all fall short in our humanity, and we're all equal at the foot of the cross. There's not one who deserves, who says, you know, I'm good enough. We're not. But then three is to speak the truth in love. And where Donna were to say, I can believe the way I want to believe, I believe the founders, when they said in the Declaration of Independence about law of nature and nature's God, they recognized something very clearly when you read that and when you study that. Is that Bob is a selfish person. Ben is, and Don is, and all of us are selfish. As a matter of fact, that's why the first word a two-year-old says is mine. Okay? We want it our way. So we'll tilt the playing field our way. So they said, no, there's a higher standard. See, so you can love Donna, but you can still love the institution of marriage. It doesn't have to be an either or. It can be a yes and.
Let's talk about civil dialogue. I want to know what you think is civil and uncivil. Who wants to jump in there? Because if you've placed so much emphasis on a civil dialogue, you've certainly seen out there uncivil dialogues. What have you seen out there, Bob, that for your cause, your Christian values, doesn't do you any good? Can you think of any examples?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of examples where that just doesn't do our cause good. It doesn't do the name of the Lord and Savior we bear any good. It's not who we are. I'll give you an example. I used to be a high school principal. And sometimes high school principals, I used to speak to a lot of high school principals, but they would get their house egged or they'd get their car vandalized because they had to make tough decisions. But typically when that happens is when the high school principal leaves the issue of discipline with the student and they attack the student's core. See, when we keep the issue, I think we can be civil. If I start attacking who Donna is and start ripping her apart and tearing her down, I think that's extremely uncivil. Donna has had my back in a situation where she has seen that done to me. And I wasn't there, but she had my back.
She came to your defense.
She came to my defense when I wasn't there. And I've had her back when I saw that happen to her when she wasn't part of that as well. Because when we start attacking people, first of all, you've lost the argument at that point. You've lost the debate when you start attacking people. Keep the issue the issue.
Yeah, there was a radio personality who called me, I think, a member of the Rainbow Jihad and said that I was a...
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. And said that I was a...
It wasn't Iowa Public
no,
Radio.
And said that I was a gay mafia thug. And Bob immediately wrote to me and said, you are no thug, and I'm going to tell him that. And he went to that radio personality and gave him a piece of his mind. I think civility is how we need to operate. In this great democracy of ours, there needs to be argument. I love a good argument. You know, two people who profoundly disagree can go head to head, whether we're in politics or religion or family or business. A good argument, I think, brings us forward. It's kind of like the machine that moves us forward. We can choose to do that with civility, with respect for the other person, for just being there, with respect for who that person is in their life. Or we can eviscerate each other. And I know some people get some pleasure out of that.
Well, the media loves that, too.
It
drives up ratings on commercial TV, primarily. Cable TV news, right?
Sure it does. And we're seeing that even in this campaign. You know, Donald Trump, love him or don't like him, whatever it is, but he's driving up ratings. So the media would like to show the division. They like to highlight the division. But I will say this, from the state's largest newspaper, the Des Moines Register, which wrote this story initially on December 31, New Year's Eve, to the Washington Post, which wrote about it on their Sunday edition of the July 4th weekend, to even Mutual of Omaha, to Iowa Public Radio now. The media, I think, is starting to see there's something good here. When you can have profound differences and still be able to like one another and have a civil dialogue.
And you know what? I'm no Pollyanna. You know, we don't hold hands and sing Kumbaya. We both have an edge. We both are still working for our issues and our constituencies as hard as we can. But I think we're trying to find a different way to do it.
In just a few minutes, we'll get back to this conversation, recorded recently at the Des Moines Social Club, a conversation I had about civil dialogue between political opposites. Donna Redwing of One Iowa, the state's leading LGBT organization taking part, as well as Bob Vanderplatz of the conservative Christian organization, The Family Leader. More of that conversation in just a moment. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with more of this special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's a show we recorded recently at the Des Moines Social Club, a conversation I had about civil dialogue between political opposites in this case. Also on stage with me, Donna Redwing of One Iowa. One Iowa is the state's leading lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization. Also on the stage with me, Bob Vanderplatz of the conservative Christian organization, The Family Leader. Let's go back to that conversation. I wonder, since you've had this dialogue going on for 2 years, and previous to that, you would be asked by various media organizations, including Iowa Public Radio, for your view on this issue when it arrived. When you give a statement to the press now, Donna or Bob, do you have the other person in mind? Has that changed the way you respond to the press and characterize your opposition?
At One Iowa, and this is with a really good and interesting conversation with staff and board. We do not attack the people at the Family Leader. We don't go after Bob or anyone else. We may profoundly disagree and we'll come out, you know, swinging, but we don't attack the people. We attack their stand on the issue. And we've changed our language. And I think you've seen that.
Yeah. And I've said frequently, you know, our conversations has not changed my belief, has not changed Donna's belief. Matter of fact, it makes you dig a little bit deeper into your belief about why do you really believe what you believe to be really real. And if you start going down deeper and you're on shifting sand, then I'd say you should check out your belief. But what it has done, it has changed about what how do we posture this? How do we communicate this? What's the approach we take with it? For example, you know, Donna mentioned the radio personality, but there was a situation where on the other side, they made a cartoon book out of, I mean, and I always wanted to be in a cartoon book, and I was like the main comic figure. But she had my back on it with that as well. So we still can believe very deeply what we believe, but it's how we approach and how we want to make sure there's civil dialogue all the way through this.
So we've established no common ground on marriage. You exchanged ideas. There really is just a difference there. There's no overlap, no common ground there.
But here's the thing. He acknowledges that I have a wife who I love dearly. In our conversations, he includes her. So it's not, I think it's the institution of marriage. I don't think he doubts that I love Sumitra with all my heart.
You mentioned a common ground on the issue of preventing child trafficking.
Sure.
There too. What other areas did you discover you had common ground in, and could join forces, so to speak?
The family leader's legislative team was the one that pushed human trafficking legislation through this year to get Governor Branstad to sign and appropriate money, because we want to rid that scourge out of our state at all costs. She agrees with that. We agree with that. Education is very important to us. There's a lot of things that would be extremely important to us.
You are miles apart in terms of your, what did you say, 98%?
98%.
98% of the issues you profoundly disagree on. So this is no small thing that you get together regularly to have coffee or have public conversations. Can you give us some lessons that you've learned about how to have a civil dialogue with someone you profoundly disagree with?
Well, I think, first of all, is that you really need to be solid in your beliefs when you have this kind of a conversation. And I think you need to be somewhat ready for it. And I think there needs to be parameters that, again, my concern is Donna. Hopefully her concern is me. In this relationship, and what can we learn from one another as we go through life's journey here? And I think we've learned a lot about that. And there's a lot of things we can share.
One, and if you remember, I think the second time we met, I had a little civil dialogue, civility piece that I asked Bob to agree to. And it was about hearing each other, listening to each other, treating each other with respect and with dignity, because, you know, some of these issues are really hard, and we kind of agreed to that civility, that code of civility. What's happened at One Iowa, though, we're getting calls from people. I was at a restaurant not long ago when somebody stopped and asked. They want to reach out to somebody. They want to reach out to someone that they've had a problem with, someone who has profoundly disagreed with them. Sometimes it's political. Sometimes it's personal. It's family. And they just want to go out and do it. And I always caution them that they need to be ready, as Bob said.
And what are your cautionary notes to someone who wants to do that? Be that someone in their own family or someone in the neighborhood or across town?
Sure. You have to be ready for that person to push you away. You have to be ready for that person to not agree to be civil. You need to be ready for anything to happen. You need to know why you want to do it. I think for Bob and I, it really is the journey. I don't know what the end of the journey is, but for us, it's those meetings, you know, time after time. Someone said to me, you should call this, it's only coffee, but it's a beginning. So I think there are ways that we can model this, but I also think we need to really look at how we can help people have these conversations so that they're ready for them and that they have to have some understanding around why they want to do it. It has to be more than intrigue and curiosity. Would you agree?
I do agree with that. And I think the word that I would sum up what Donna is saying is there needs to be maturity level here. And quite frankly, I think I would not go to someone who is extremely immature. It will not turn out well. Donna's a very mature person, probably way so more than I am. And we have great conversations. We have great conversations because of that. I think Rekha Basu, when she ended her December 31 column and said, I'd encourage all of you to reach out to somebody that you really disagree with and have a civil dialogue and get to know who one another are. I think it's a good that's a tenet of our faith, to reach out and to have this kind of discussion and this type of dialogue.
It's a conversation we're having right now about civil dialogue with Bob Vanderplaats of the Family Leader and One Iowa Executive Director Donna Redwing. And we're at the Des Moines Social Club in the Come and Go Theater before a live audience on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. I'd like to welcome any audience members with questions. You've been listening. Come up to the microphone here. Yes, sir. Let's hear your name. And you're from Des Moines? Hello.
Yeah, my name's John Noble. I'm a junior at Drake University. I'm studying rhetoric and religion. So some of the questions that are really heavy on my heart are the fact that we've seen 20 trans women murdered this year in 2015, that we see exceptionally high rates of homelessness, of suicide for LGBT youth, especially LGBT youth of color. And I wonder if violence, you know, both in the violence of mental illness and violence that LGBT youth face, is one of those areas that you can see common ground on, and what your organizations would say or do about those issues?
Without question. First of all, violence is never an answer to anything. The whole love your neighbor as yourself, you would want to reach out in every situation. Matter of fact, there's this conversation around bullying a lot right now in schools as well. And I'm telling you right now, as someone who was in the public school system for 11 years, if there's any adult in any school system, this is not rocket science, this is common sense. If you're a bus driver, if you're a mechanic, if you're a cook, if you're a teacher, a principal, superintendent, if you can't spot bullying, you shouldn't be in that school system.
Sure. And at One Iowa, certainly, our constituency and our supporters are primarily members of the LGB and T communities. We work around transgender issues with law enforcement, and the 1,200 law enforcement officers we train, a big part of that training is around some cultural competency to deal with transgender, the transgender incarcerated with respect and with dignity and some understanding. Certainly, all of our work, whether we're working through our youth program, Iowa Pride Network, through our elder program, Gay and Gray in the Midwest, and everything in between, we're very intentional about including the LGB and T communities, both in our policy conversations and in our programming. So I would welcome a conversation with Bob around how we could work together. I do know that when we look at the reality of transgender persons in this country and in Iowa, that the murder rates are high, the violence rates are high, the incarceration rates are high, the poverty rates are high, and the homeless rates are high, and we need to do something about it. So I think we have a conversation coming up.
You're right. And what I would say with Donna to that, and by the way, that's a great question, thank you for asking that, is I would take a very comprehensive approach to it. All of us in this room have one thing in common. We all went through school, right? And what it is, whether you're a fat kid or a skinny kid, a redhead kid, or a freckle-faced kid, or a rich kid, or a poor kid, or whatever, you always had a reason to be stigmatized and then bullied, right? Or be picked on, or whatever it is. I'm just saying, on a comprehensive approach, that cannot happen. Our standards must be higher. And so whether it's LGBT or whether it's some other issue, the standard has to be higher. And we need to expect that out of our school systems. Again, this, I'm just telling you guys, a program is not going to change this. This is going to be adults acting like adults in the school and making sure it doesn't happen.
John, thank you for that question. Other questions we have in our audience here at the Des Moines Social Club? Please tell us your name. And
Evan, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, you both seem to have a strong framework in your beliefs. Is you have a faith framework and it's grounded in love. Look, viewing it from outside, from some of his beliefs, can seem bigoted and based off of fear. But you know, you have to take them at face value. That is beliefs are coming from a place of love. Do you think that's genuine after you've gotten to know him, or is that a place of consternation for you now that when you have dialogues with him?
That's a good question. Thank you for that. If I did not think it was genuine, I don't think I'd waste my time. I have much better things to do. You know, I know who the enemy is. I've stood toe-to-toe with white supremacists and neo-Nazis. You know, my family's life has been threatened. We know who the enemy is. I've been in this movement for almost 30 years. Bob is not my enemy. Bob is my opponent in many arenas, but he is not my enemy. I'm very clear about that. Do I wish he would work toward full equality for LGBT people? Sure.
Do you think there'll be a day when that day will come?
I think there are places where it may happen, but not as fully as I would like. Mm-hmm. But that's not the goal. If I said, oh, I'm meeting with Bob because you know what? I'm going to turn him 180 degrees. You know, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Our remaining minutes with Bob Vanderplaats and Donna Redwing. Do you have a question, ma'am? Yes. Step up and please tell us your name.
Hi. My name is Libby Crimmings, and I'm from Des Moines. I'm actually from Give a Damn Des Moines. And I want to say, first of all, thank you, because this is one of the most remarkable and inspiring and beautiful things that I have seen in a very, very long time. So my question is, we ask people to stand up and give a damn about things. And when you do, you typically tend to get really passionate and excited, and things can get heated and out of control quickly in conversation. And so what are your best pieces of advice to people for when they feel like they're being attacked, and how to handle it, how to defuse situations?
Great question. We love passion, but passion in the right way, and passion can take us places we as individuals don't want to go, Donna.
I'm a very passionate person. I often describe myself as an advocate, an activist, and an agitator, and I'm very proud of that. I'm also a Unitarian Universalist Buddhist, and I believe that we choose how we respond, and I'm getting better at that. And so if we're having a difficult conversation, I don't go to evisceration at the first beat. I try to hear it. I try to understand it. I try to understand where that person is. So I think we have to understand that whatever happens, whatever is said, we choose how we hear it, and we choose how we respond to it. That's our responsibility. That's my responsibility. I'm choosing civility. I'm tired of the hate. I'm tired of the snarkiness. I'm tired of the way things have been. So I choose civility.
Very, very good question, and very good points by Don as well. And what I would echo, first of all, I just love being part of a Give a Damn series as a person of faith. But to what Don is saying, I want everybody to leave with this, is that hate is a motivating factor and force for a short duration of time. You cannot sustain hate long term. Love will sustain. Hate will not sustain. And I respect Donna, and I think Donna respects me, when we are passionate and when we give a damn about our issues. Where it crosses the line is if I start attacking her or she starts attacking me. So passion is good. Do not see the civility dialogue as weakness. Donna is not a weak person. And I don't see myself as a weak person. This is two people who are willing to have tough conversations, but in a civilized manner. Passion's a good thing if it's on the issues, not on the person.
Okay, thank you for that question. I think we have time for at least one more. Yes, ma'am, your question. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Debbie Griffin, and I am an ordained Christian minister. And I want to say first thank you to Donna for initiating this conversation with Bob, because although I'm a Christian pastor, Donna, I think, has behaved more Christian than even myself when I have thought about some of these issues because, Bob, I have to confess that, you know, I have thought of you as the enemy because it bothers me as a Christian pastor to have these views that are so different than mine and to have them spread out as if you speak for all Christians. So my question is for Bob. I wonder, have you had similar kinds of conversations with mainline denominations that speak out for marriage equality and embrace the LGBTQ community? Have you thought about having some conversations with the progressive Christians as well?
Thank you, first of all, for the question. And I, too, matter of fact, I've said that plenty of times where I think even in the AHA video where I said, I appreciate Donna so much for reaching out. And I even said, because I really believe I'm the one who should have reached out because that would be in accordance with my faith. And as I said earlier on, some of my best conversations are with people that see the world completely different than I do. And some of those are leaders in ministry. As a matter of fact, when I heard your question, I thought you and I should have a conversation. Because I would enjoy that. I really would enjoy that because I think, and so for me, just so you understand this, is that terms matter, right? And traditional marriage is not what I believe in. I mean, if it's traditional, then why not? I mean, traditions, let's forget about it. To me, it's biblical marriage. And now you and I may disagree about that and the interpretation of Scripture on that. But yes, I have had with faith leaders and others these types of conversations. And again, when it's handled in a civil dialogue, I think we leave probably not with changed viewpoints, but at least with an understanding or an appreciation maybe of where somebody's coming from.
Thank you very much. That'll have to be the last question. I have one question if I could get Bob and Donna to answer before we leave here. Looking forward, what if people went this way, more this way? What would happen to our hyper-partisanship, what is also termed the culture wars? What do you see that could be improved there, if I could get a comment from each of you?
Can you imagine an election year, for example, where people treated each other with respect and dignity? If the campaign universe were a place and space of dignity and worth and respect, can you imagine if there were real conversations about real issues and where people heard each other and responded to what they heard? If it was not the soundbite and the snarkiness, oh my goodness, that would transform the world, I think. But for now, I'm concerned with our coffees, and I'll leave it at that.
First of all, I would challenge everybody. Life is way too short, and it's extremely boring just to hang out with the people who agree with you. I mean, how boring is that? I mean, why not reach out and try to find some people that just have disagreements, and let's have conversations and dialogue about it. But look at what Donna and I just did for the past hour, you know, with Ben's professional help. How much better would a campaign race be if you had this kind of dialogue, not the timers, not the rebuttals, not the commercials, but just let's talk about some real issues facing this country. Let's have an adult conversation about this. I think that'd make a lot of sense.
All right. Thank you very much. It's been a great joy to have you and to experience your civil dialogue and what you've started here, Donna and Bob. I also want to thank our hosts here at the Des Moines Social Club. It's been a wonderful gathering. Let's hear it for Bob and Donna and this happening. A recent conversation recorded on stage before a live audience at the Des Moines Social Club. If you didn't catch it all or want to download it as a podcast, simply go to iowapublicradio.org and search for River to River. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Thanks to our on-site sound engineer, John Pemble. And also special thanks to the Des Moines Social Club for hosting us. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thank you for joining us.